It's Brother Hansen from Truth and Light Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get back into our study on the book of Jeremiah. Yesterday we left off around the second chapter, and let's begin with verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty. They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. You know, there's people out there that handle the law of God that don't have a clue about what they're talking about. People handle the word every day, teach the word. They don't know God. Did you know that? It's a sad thing, but it is true. Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. You know, there was many prophets in that day that came against Jeremiah. Jeremiah came and he told the truth. He spoke the truth. He said what was, thus saith the Lord. And, you know, he didn't prophesy all of the prosperity message. Jeremiah didn't come and say, oh, God's going to prosper. He's going to give you money. He's going to give you all these things good. No. He came and preached a message of repentance. He preached the truth. Those that were preaching the prosperity message were preaching and prophesying by the name of Baal. Did you know that? The prophets in his day that came against Jeremiah for preaching the message of repentance, you know what they preached? They prophesied by Baal, the name of Baal. And that's what Jeremiah is clarifying here. And walked after things that did not profit. You know, they walked after the prosperity message, but it didn't profit them. Didn't profit them one bit. It was a joke. Therefore, I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your sons, I will contend, for cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see, and send to Kedar and observe closely and see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods? Has a nation changed gods? I want you to just think about that just for a moment. Has the nation of America changed gods? Take a look around us, folks, in the world today. Islam. Has the world changed gods? Islam does not serve the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a different God. Different God altogether, folks. Has the nation changed gods? Yes, it has, in a lot of ways. When they were not gods, but my people have changed their glory. For that which does not profit, be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water, Is Israel a slave or is he a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey? The young lions have roared at him. They have roared loudly. And they have made his land a waste. His cities have been destroyed without inhabitants. Also the men of Memphis and Tahpanhes have shaved the crown of your head. Some bad things begin to happen. And Jeremiah was beginning to his ministry and telling the truth. The first part of the harvest in the third verse, the first harvest, he who ate became guilty. Evil come upon them, declares the Lord. First part of the harvest was set aside for God. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 to 11. That's how Israel was dedicated to him in years gone by. Israel had been as eager to please God as if she were his young bride, a holy and devoted people. This contrasted greatly with the situation in Jeremiah's time. The United Nation of Israel included both the House of Israel and the House of Jacob. Judah, actually, House of Jacob. Jeremiah knew Israel's history very well. The prophets recited history to the people for several reasons. One, to remind them of God's faithfulness. Two, to make sure that the people wouldn't forget. They didn't have Bibles to read. To emphasize God's love for them. To remind the people that there had been a time when they were close to God. We've got to learn from history, not repeat it. Now in verse 8, the priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And those who handle the law didn't even know God. The rulers also transgressed against God. There was no rulers. None of them knew God. The prophets prophesied by the name of Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Baal was the chief male god of the Canaanite religion. The Baal's 2 verse 23 refers to the fact that Baal was worshipped in many centers of Canaanite practice. Baal was the god of fertility. Worship of Baal included animal sacrifice and sacred prostitution, male and female, in the high places. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, introduced Baal worship into the northern kingdom. And eventually it spread to Judah. The sexual orientation of this worship was a constant temptation to the Israelites who were called to the holy God. Now, verse 10, "For cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see," for cross to the coastland, "and send to Kedar and observe closely and see if there has been such a thing as this, as a nation changed gods." God was saying that even pagan nations like Kittim, Cyprus in the west, and Kedar, the home of the Arab tribes living in the desert east of Palestine, remained loyal to their national gods, but Israel had abandoned the one and true God, Abraham and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They abandoned him. They abandoned God for a completely worthless object of worship. You know, it just amazes you sometimes when people will worship a God that you know is not a God, but yet they put their faith in it. It amazes me. Absolutely amazes you. You know? They'll worship something that you know is just nothing but a false. Or they'll worship and put their allegiance in a message of garbage. And you know it's not true, but yet people will follow after it for some strange reason. Who would set aside a sparkling fountain of water, as in 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Who would set aside the sparkling fountain of water for a cistern, a pit that collected rainwater? God told the Israelites they were doing that very thing when they turned from him, the fountain of living waters. Jesus said, I am the living waters. Come to me, to the worship. They changed gods. They went to the worship of idols. Not only that, but the cisterns they chose were broken and empty. They didn't hold water. They didn't hold anything. People had built religious systems on which to store truth. But those systems were worthless. Why should anyone cling to the broken promises and unstable cisterns? Money, the prosperity messages, power, religion, religious systems, whatever transitory thing we are putting in place in the place of God. When God promises to constantly refresh us with himself, the living water, in John 4 and verse 10. They hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave, or is he a newborn, a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey, changed himself into a worthless prey? God was saying that even pagan nations like Kittim, Cyprus, Kedar in the desert of Palestine remain loyal to their own gods. But Israel abandoned the one and true God. Isn't that something? They were dedicated, devoted to the false gods that they thought were God, but Israel abandoned the true God, the one and true God. They set aside something and started serving a bunch of garbage. Can you imagine that? You can't even make this stuff up. Memphis is also the men of Memphis and Tapanis have shaved the crown of your head. Memphis was near modern Cairo's present location in Lower Egypt, and Tapanis was in northeastern Egypt. Jeremiah could be speaking of Pharaoh Shishak, the previous invasion of Judah in 926 BC, 1 Kings 14, verse 25. He may have been predicting Pharaoh Necho's invasion in 609 BC when King Josiah of Judah would be killed. 2 Kings 23 and 29 to 30. Jeremiah's point is that the people brought this on themselves by rebelling against God. And God had to protect correct them through pagan nations. And it's a shame he had to choose a less righteous people to try to get his own people corrected. Well, I'm going to stop there. We're going to take this up tomorrow in the 16th verse, 17th verse of this second chapter of Jeremiah. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. That's krciradio.com. And write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Well, tomorrow's broadcast is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.